Okay, good afternoon. We are calling the Health and Social Services Committee meeting to order. And first item of business is prayer. And Speaker Walker, would you mind?
Sure.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together today. And Lord, just be with us. Keep our an open mind, and look forward to hearing the discussion from our health leadership, Lord. Help us get through this cold weather. Look forward to the springtime, Lord. Please forgive us for our sins. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. First, I want to say, of course, Congressman Mason is not here today due to a death in his family, and our prayers are with him as well. I want to introduce our people in the gallery. Huh? Okay, you can do roll call first and then do that? Okay, we can do roll call first.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon? Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Speaker Walker?
Here.
Congressman Mason? Congresswoman Stabler?
Here. Okay, so now I will introduce our people in the gallery. We have from the clinic CEO, Dr. Ron Shaw. We have the clinic manager, Mr. Daniel Sharon, and the executive assistant, Mary Hammer. And then we also have a member of our Osage Nation Health Authority Board, Cecilia Tolchi, with us today. So welcome to all of you. Next item of business will be the approval of minutes.
To approve the amendments as presented for January 22nd.
Okay, we have a
second.
Motion. Second. And all in favor?
Yes.
Thank you all.
Need my vote for that.
Yeah, I was going to have to abstain.
And all right, so in our on our agenda, the next item is continuation of elder care status. I don't think that there's anybody here to actually lead us in a discussion or to talk about it, except that, Ms. Tallchief, did you want to have some discussion on elder care or just bypass it?
I just might tell you a little bit about the step that I'm going to take to the chief.
Okay.
Before we, and the only reason I am is so everybody could know kind of what's out there, some of the things that's possible, some of the things that we can do. Of course, it's like having the money to do it and having somebody to forefront it and work with it. I went out to Isleta and had visited their elder care and their memory unit. And it's all combined with their Title VI, and their Title VI has an expanded role where they do a lot of home care type of things, and they do a lot of transportation to and from the clinics. They, according to their director, that they have to do a plan, a three-year plan, and I don't know what our Title VI three-year plan is, and I am going to see what it is to see if it has something that might be able to help with something at the health facility, like getting people to and from the clinic and that type of thing. But the three-year plan has to be in April of 19. So, I'm going to see what kind of plan that we have here to see and possibly talk with Dr. Shaw and see how all of this stuff can coordinate together, because the clinic is one thing, but everybody has to be able to support one another. But it's not, we're not a single arm. We have to be able to coordinate. So there's a senior housing in Laguna. There's one in Isleta. The Navajos have one. There's about five or six. There's no money to fund any of this thing. And this is one of the things that the tribal leaders need to be able to advocate for that. We can't advocate for it. It has to come from the higher level. So I just wanted to let you know there are things there. Look into it. Just like the clinic, one congressman put $1.2 million to look at building a new clinic. I guess if somebody put something into moving forward in an elder care, there might be some money to get somebody to move into that area. I don't know how it would work. I have to go through the executive office. But there are things there that are for elders.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That was Cecilia Tallchief, and she's a member of the Osage Nation Health Authority Board. We did have some discussion at the last meeting for those that weren't here, and Social Services actually brought us a little packet. And so in there, it talked about transportation, and talked about assisted living and nursing home care, and some of the things that I guess some of the services views an area we need to start heading toward. So next on the agenda, if there's no more comments or anything about elder care. Okay, then we can move on to the Osage Nation Health Clinic. And I want to invite all the members that are here to come join us at the table. Dr. Shaw, would you like to introduce your new clinic manager?
Yes. Greetings, committee. I'd like to introduce Mr. Daniel Sharon. He's our new clinic manager. Came aboard 12/17 or so. He is Ponca, and he has a bachelor's degree in health services administration and a master's in business administration. Immediately prior to his coming to us, he was the HR director and the controller at a small business in Blackwell. And I could just tell you, despite his youth, he's got experience and a manner about him that has been of immense help already in running the clinic. There's a lot of moving parts in the clinic up there. The chairman would know that. And you need more than one mind to try to command those moving parts, or any one of them could get too far away from him. So I welcome his help and his experience and his dedication, and glad that he's here with us, glad that we found someone who could take at least a decent chance at trying to fill Paula Stabler's position there. So he's making a good running start at that, so we're pleased at that here. So just glad to introduce him this time here. So
and his youth and his energy.
Yeah, that's right. That's always helpful. So.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. So you brought us a packet today, and I don't know if you or if you want Daniel to. It looks like this is some of the current information on the clinic.
Yeah, I'd be happy to go through that. We introduced my assistant Mary Hammer, if I've not introduced her in a previous meeting. She's my assistant as well as assistant to the Osage Nation Health Authority. She's been aboard since May, June of last year. So this first is, that was just the first item on this little paper, was the introduction of Daniel Sharon, which we've done. So I want to bring you up to staffing. You know, we know there's a clinic up there. We know there's some kind of providers in there. And so it's a black box you go into and you come out with prescriptions and you hope you're better. But who are the people, who are the main principals that work in there? Well, we've had two full-time mid-level providers. I hired one last summer who's done very well thought of. I can't think of any, a single complaint about either one of these. And they've been doing the lion's share of the direct patient care. I have had Dr. Cheswell fill in when we've been understaffed, which has been frequently during the last several months. And what I've encountered so far in these last several months is it's challenging to hire a physician out here in Pawhuska, Oklahoma. The biggest thing that I'm recruiting against is the fact it's about a 3-hour round trip if you live in South Tulsa to commute here to Pawhuska. And so whatever you pay, whatever your benefits are, whatever your compensation package is, that's up front. So that being said, we've made some changes to what we are going to pay physicians. I put some of that in here just to give you an idea of what the what we're offering a new hire. I have a family physician from the St. John's Network who's verbally committed. But most of those people have a 90-day right to terminate their contract without cause. So earliest she would start would be June. Meanwhile, I just retained two locums tenens physicians, one internist and one family medicine. Their first 2 weeks here, they've had a good 2 weeks. Last year, you know, locums tenens are these physicians that do 3 to 6 month assignments from an agency. I would have to say last year, we struggled some. It's difficult sometimes to get people from another state to work permanently and having them work out. And I asked Paula one time, I said, have you ever had to let a locums tenens go? Oh yeah. Well, I found that to be true. You know, we've had some issues happen, and I just, even though I hated to be short-staffed, I had to. You continue to get a black eye, there's patient complaints or other administrative stuff. So we got these two aboard, and we're aggressing for permanent hires, recruiting aggressively for permanent hires. And one may be lined up for June, and we have ads in the Tulsa World every Sunday. So I don't know if anyone's come across that, but we've got one of those box ads in there that has all of our... And I guess since we're on the audio, I'll tell you that we have a $30,000 sign-on bonus with a 2-year commitment. It's structured like a loan. So after each year, you're forgiven $15,000 of your $30,000 sign-on loan. And then after the second year, you're forgiven the second half of your $30,000. The reason it's structured like that is that it's specifically structured as if you leave early, you owe money back. That's to protect the nation from someone getting X amount of money and after 3 months decide it's not working out. So they can still leave, but they have to reimburse the nation.
I have a question.
Yes.
How is that going to be handled in the event that that does happen? Does it go through our tribal courts to try to get the money back if the person who you've hired is not Osage or not American Indian? Do we have what's the process?
All we have right now legally is they have to give a 60-day right to terminate without cause in our contracts, not 90, 60. And the promissory note essentially that they signed says that the nation can deduct any monies owed from their remaining paychecks and or any remaining PTO cash out. Now, is that always going to be enough to cover it? Don't know, but it could. 2 months of salary, I mean, literally, that's how you protect yourself instead of just hoping that they'll send you a check back. Because I understand the concern, but I've met with both the treasurer and with the attorney general's office in this, and they feel like that's a reasonable way to go. Certainly much better protect than he gave them 30 and just hope that they would honor their agreement. So that's how we would collect.
I have a question.
Yes.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Dr. Shaw, I was wondering, on the benefits package here, the $30,000 sign-on bonus and some of what Alice was talking about, and then the starting salary, we're talking about an MD or a DO, correct? We're not talking about any more mid-levels at the clinic up here?
No, we're fully staffed at mid-levels.
And so tell me why you feel that is okay. I mean, what's the going rate normally for a clinic of this size that services the amount of patients that we service, which is a little over 4,000 patients, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So in the private world, what's the normal, let's say, compared to Oklahoma Heart, I guess, if you
let's
could.
Say the only ones I can tell you about directly, I've seen a contract from a system in Bartlesville and Tulsa, but their starting level is 215 plus a similar bonus, okay, plus a similar sign-on bonus, but they can earn a bonus throughout the year, which we do not have, which is going to require us to start with a higher salary. Plus, we're recruiting out here in a rural area. I have tried lower salaries and didn't get a nibble at all. It is my opinion, based on multiple conversations and knowledge, and I've seen a few other contracts, usually that's proprietary information, you don't get to see those from another system, that it's going to take a salary in this range to get someone here to make that 3-hour commute and also commit to working here in a clinic that's perhaps not what they've been used to. Take that chance, and I think most of the people are going to be happy about that. But you know, I really believe this is the amount of money that it's going to take. There are previous positions that were here that left, the two most, they were at 225. So this is not much more than that, and I think you have to pay more here than you do in Tulsa.
Okay, so thank you for that answer. And then, so it also offers loan repayment. Is that something common in the private sector also?
Warren Clinic offers that.
Warren Clinic, which is a federally qualified health center, no?
No, it's a not-for-profit hospital associated with St. Francis.
Okay. And then the other piece of the question was, you're recruiting for an MD or a DO when we currently have two mid-levels. And I was just... I guess the question I was asking was, in comparison to Oklahoma Heart MDs to mid-levels, or excuse me, physicians to what we would call a nurse practitioner or a physician assistant. So the ratio in the private sector is, do you happen to know what the normal ratio is?
I think it usually in clinics I've been at, it was 1-to-1. Each one of those nurse practitioners needs to have a collaborating physician record. And
for medication purposes, correct? Prescribing purposes.
Theoretically, you're supposed to review the records. I don't know that that happens, but it's part of the state law that licenses nurse practitioners are supposed to have a collaborating physician. It's supposed to review their records, and they work under supervision. They call them a collaborating physician. So what I've usually seen is one physician with one mid-level. That's the ratio I've seen.
Oh, I believe Dr.
Jones
is here. Was that all your questions, Brandy?
So far, thank you, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Carson Walker, did you have?
Dr. Lewis, back here to see you.
My dentist.
Hey, Dr. Lewis.
Okay. Okay.
Motion to recess?
Motion for a brief recess.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Yes.
All right, we'll have a recess for just a moment. Thank you.
Yeah, Brandy.
Anything less than that.